Leviticus chapter 5, in that passage, a man had sinned, or, if I may, dropped the ball. Now, he didn't do it necessarily rebelliously. Matter of fact, in Leviticus 5, verse 15 and 18, in the description of this man that makes his mistake or sins, God uses the word ignorance twice. What God was saying was, you did wrong, you did it ignorantly, it's still wrong, but you did it. And so the man was guilty of doing wrong. But if his attitude was right about it, then he discovers his wrong. And then God said, if you got a good attitude about your wrong, get a sacrifice, bring it, and we'll settle this thing up. It says, concerning his ignorance wherein he erred, and wished it not, if he shall, God said, I can forgive him. And I like that. Like I said, I think you're probably going to listen closely to this sermon because I want to talk to you about some of the things in my life where I just dropped the ball. I'm embarrassed about some of the things. I don't think I did them rebelliously. I don't think I was doing them in rebellion toward God, but I did them. You ever heard someone say that you learn from your mistakes? I think that's true. Now, I think there's a better way to learn. First of all, I'd like to learn from your mistakes. But I don't want to have to learn from my mistakes. You can learn from the Bible, and there's a way to learn without having to make mistakes. But you do learn from your mistakes. I believe I have the potential of being a highly well-trained individual. You say, why? I think I've made about every mistake you can. And so if you can learn from your mistakes, if I can just learn from them, those mistakes can become a part of the educational tool that God uses to try to straighten me out. Now, I don't want to make mistakes in my Christian life. I have to tell you, when Grandpa would hit those balls at me, I didn't want to drop them. I did. I was young. I was dumb. I was scared. But I did drop the ball. And now in my Christian life, I don't want to do wrong. I know that sin is my enemy. I hate the thought of disappointing the Lord. I hate the thought of disappointing myself. I hate the thought of disappointing those that would tend to lead me or follow. I don't want that. I consider my mistakes negatives in my life, and I try to stay away from the things that would pull me down. But I know that I can learn from my mistakes. After I make a mistake, though, there's something that I do. I make a mistake and I decide, you know what, I want that mistake to become my teacher. I want to learn from my mistakes. I let my mistakes begin to train me. I let my mistakes correct me. I even let my mistakes punish me or discipline me. I let them instruct me. I come face to face with my mistakes, and that started out maybe to be my master. If I am careful, I could master it. And my mistakes could become something that would make me successful. Did you know that your weaknesses could become your strengths if you could learn from your weaknesses and you could be trained by your weaknesses? Now, I would tell you this, if you continue to err in the same way, then you're not learning from your mistakes. If you make a mistake and you're not going to learn from it, and you obviously know you made the mistake, yours may be rebellion thereafter. You had a chance to learn from it and grow by it. Then you've got a problem. It's not ignorance anymore. Now it's pride. And the Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If I could for a little while, I got a long list of what I could say to you today. I'm going to get to them as many of them as I can. But I call the sermon, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball. Let me say, first of all, I dropped the ball regarding being serious about my salvation. When I was a young man, and let me explain, the gospel was presented to me. But I wasn't interested like I needed to be interested, and I didn't really pay true and serious attention to it. So someone presented the gospel to me. I was a little flippant about it. I wasn't serious about it. But they said, if you pray, you can be saved. I prayed something, but I have to tell you, I didn't mean what I prayed. And they asked me, did you pray? I said, yeah. But I didn't mean it, didn't mean a lick of it. I was kind of doing it to get him off my back, and I wasn't real interested. And someone said, well, you're saved. And I said, okay. But I wasn't serious, and when I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me, I wasn't having a talk with God at all. I was just saying some words to say the words. I even followed the Lord in believer's baptism after that. And then I'll never forget. And so, you know, that was me dropping the ball. You know that if I would have died after having not truly been saved and playing a little religious game, I would have died and gone to hell. Because when you get saved, that's a very serious thing between you and God. And I don't know any way to say it other than this. You got to mean it. And God knows if you mean it or not. So I dropped the ball. Boy, I'll never forget the moment that it occurred to me. Jeff Owens, you are not born again. Brother Earl, I was petrified. I got home. I was still just a kid. I was 16 years of age. I got home after church one night. I got on my knees by my bed. I reached up to heaven and I said, God, I'm not saved. I do not want to die and go to hell. Forgive me of my sin. I know Jesus is the Savior. Come into my heart and save me. I got up off my knees and I was saved. And I've never doubted it one day after. But I will tell you, I dropped the ball at first. It's kind of Jim, I was kind of being religious, and I goofed up. Don't drop the ball, folks, when it comes to being born again. You need to make sure you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. And you don't do that to impress somebody else. That's a conversation between you and God, and I don't know any other way to put it other than this. You got to mean it. You make a connect with God about that thing called your salvation. And you know, I have to tell you, after I got saved, I wasn't worried about any embarrassment or anything. I went and told the preacher, I said, preacher, I didn't get saved and I went through that little thing and you'd baptize me. I said, I got saved, now I need to get baptized. I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't afraid. I got saved and it was cared for. But I do remember, I was a 16-year-old boy and I dropped the ball at that first glance of salvation. Let me tell you this also. I dropped the ball by not getting my temper under control earlier in my life. I just dropped the ball. Proverbs 14:29, it says this, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. I'll be honest, I thought temper was just a part of manhood, so it wasn't so bad. And I misused mine. I thought, to some degree, temper and anger and rage was a part of leadership. But I was wrong. When it occurred to me that my temper was out of control and I was destroying the people that I loved and I was not leading right, I declared war on my own temper. It was a weakness. It was a sin. And it had to be brought under control. I could have destroyed my friends. I could have destroyed my wife. I could have destroyed my kids. One day I realized it was a sign of a lack of Holy Spirit control in my life and that I was in rebellion to that spirit. And the times when I was losing my temper and I was out of control, I was not being a good Christian. I was sending a bad signal to everyone around me that God was not in control of my life at that point. And I decided there was no justification for this behavior and I could blame the object, but the object wasn't the problem. It was me. Well, I wouldn't have lost my temper if it were not for him or for her. You lost your temper because you don't control your temper. That's your fault. That's your problem. I dropped the ball. I'm still learning. I learned that temper control can be a tool. I learned that temper that is out of control is a destroyer. I learned that I could be very harsh. If I were not careful, I could be harsh in my leadership, I could demand fellowship, or I could earn it by the Christian graces. And I decided I didn't want people to feel that I was an abusive leader. I wanted people to feel like I was a kind leader who believed strongly. And so, I can remember for the longest time, though, I dropped the ball in regard to getting my temper under control. I can tell you this. I dropped the ball in regard to being a little too slow to trust those that were my spiritual leaders in my life. And here's what I said. I dropped the ball by being a little too slow in trusting the spiritual leaders in my life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17 says this, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And that's a Bible teaching, that we are to submit to our spiritual leaders in life. I didn't trust my leaders much. You say, why? Growing up, I'd been disappointed, let down by some leaders, hurt, honestly mishandled. And I wasn't going to be quick to trust anybody because I had experienced some hurt from leaders. I thought that in life, it's every man for himself. And if you don't do it yourself, it probably won't get done. And so I'm not going to trust the leaders around me. I questioned my leaders instead of trusting and following them, and one day it occurred to me that I was not a self-made man, and that I could not do it myself, and that I needed help, and that I was missing a whole lot of things I could learn if I would just learn how to submit myself to the leaders above me. And I forced myself to develop a submission to my leaders. I took some chances. I stepped out by faith. And I have to tell you, it was one of the greatest decisions I ever made in my life. Many a young man will go into the military intending not to trust his superiors. You can die from that, young man. You can go on the field of battle and die because you can't trust. One of the things they'll teach you in the military is to learn to be a part of a team that obeys those that are in command. I dropped the ball, and for a good while, I was not growing. I was not becoming what I needed to become because I could not. No, it's not I could not. I would not trust my leaders. I had limited access to success because they knew some things that I needed to know, but because I wouldn't trust, I wasn't learning. I wasted some years of my life. I think I probably wasted a dump truck load of wisdom that I could have had if I had just been willing to trust my spiritual leaders. Nah, I just dropped the ball. And I know I did. Maybe you have no problem like that. But because of hurt earlier, I would not put myself out there. So I was always retracted. And I hurt myself. But let me tell you this also. Fourthly, I dropped the ball by not admitting to my own mistakes. I dropped the ball because I would not admit to my own mistakes. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." See, I thought to admit to a mistake would make me weak. I thought to admit to a mistake showed poor judgment on my part. And by the way, it did. It wasn't poor judgment to admit, but I had many poor judgments to which I would not admit. I thought to admit to a mistake was an unnecessary act that would not correct the mistake, so why admit to it? I also did not understand anything about humility. And there was an absence of submission just to the principles, the truths, and the guidelines of life. I didn't realize that to admit was a sign that I was correcting the problem and I was showing submission to that which is right. See, I didn't realize that to not admit was a sign of rebellion. It was a sign of pride. It was a sign of arrogance. You know, there are some people that never admit they're wrong. There's some that never apologize. That's a crummy way to live. I dropped the ball. It occurred to me that I was failing, and I wouldn't admit it to myself or to anyone else because I wasn't about to humiliate myself in admitting I was wrong. See, to not admit is to send a sign to others that you're not doing wrong. That's not a good signal to send. Listen, I can remember a few times when, and I am my heart just breaks over this thought. I can remember a couple times I disciplined my children and I was wrong. I just made a bad judgment call and I corrected my kids and they weren't wrong, but I was. That is such an injustice. But you know what you can do if you're not careful as a parent? Because you're the parent, you don't have to admit you're wrong. Why not? Why not? I remember having a conversation with my oldest son one day. He had done something. I misread it. Boy, I disciplined him and I was angry. And I walked away and just a few moments later realized he wasn't wrong. And I realized I was. It took about everything that I had to walk back into that room and I said, "Son, I was wrong." He put his arms around me, said, "Daddy, it's okay. We all make mistakes." Let me tell you something. We all drop the ball. I hate to admit that I've dropped the ball in life like I have, but I have. But I want to learn from it. If I make mistakes, I need to go ahead and I need to mature up and I need to be willing to face my mistakes and I need to be willing to admit to my mistakes. Why? So I can grow. I dropped the ball by not being sensitive enough at times to my wife's needs. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, it talks about submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I needed to meet more of my wife's needs than I met. But I was a bit stingy, self-centered, and I was a little more concerned about me than her, and it was wrong. I wish I would have noticed that earlier in my life, but I dropped the ball. I knew just enough of the Bible as a young married man to be dangerous. I knew the concept of wives being a helpmeet to their husband, and I interpreted it as slave. I knew the concept of wives submitting to their husbands, and I thought it was all about me. I knew the concept of the wife being the weaker vessel, and I thought it was a personal problem that a lady had. And I misinterpreted it. I thought when she felt weak that you just need to suck it up and keep moving, because that's what men do, but she's not a man. I dropped the ball. I'm sure my wife's feelings were hurt many times when we were a young married couple because I just dropped the ball. I just dropped the ball. Then I learned the Bible teaches mutual submission in marriage, and there's a kindness and a generosity that ought to be expressed between both. Then I figured out that I'm really supposed to spend my life serving her and she me, because that's what good Christians do. Then I realized I needed to listen to what she said, and I didn't always have to solve the problem. Because I had this tendency, if you present a problem to me, it must be solved. If you don't want the problem solved, don't present the problem. And one day she said, "Jeff Owens, it's not that I don't know the answer. I just wanted to know if you cared enough to listen." I dropped the ball. And I decided I wanted to be sensitive to her needs. I can remember Grandpa, he had hit that ball at me time and time again. I dropped that ball. I got to tell you, I'll never forget when the victory began to develop in my playing shortstop. I wasn't afraid anymore. I was catching the ball. I knew what to do with it. I knew how to handle it. Oh my, what a peace came over my life. And let me tell y'all, I don't know about you, I just wanted to share with you for a little while how I've dropped the ball in life. You ever drop the ball? You ever make the mistakes that you should have made and you just drop the ball? I got to tell you this. I remember this. I remember I dropped the ball by being too harsh about right things. Too harsh about right things. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You see, when I was right, I almost thought it was okay to be right and mean. Because I was right. If you're right, you're right. Huh? When I was right, even with my kids, I thought it was okay to be harsh while I was right. But did you know that right does not give us the right to be rude? We think if we're right, it's okay to be rude. I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible teaches. When I was right with a follower, I could be so dogmatically, incredibly rude and curt, it was now embarrassing that I would treat anybody that way. It's kind of like, well, if you don't like it, I guess you can lump it. Can I tell you something? You can be right the right way. See, I was right the wrong way. I learned that right, when seasoned with grace, makes you right about the issue and right about your attitude or your delivery of the truth. I felt if I was right, your feelings did not matter. And I don't think that's true. I think you need to stand for right the right way. Stand against wrong the right way. I had to learn that. I dropped the ball many, many times by just standing for right in a harsh fashion. Then I got to thinking about how I dropped the ball by not expressing my love like I needed to. I remember one day, my mentor, my pastor said this to me. I was a very young man. I was still in Bible college. I don't know why, but he was meeting with me and talking with me. And he said this. He said, Jeff, he said, I think you love very deeply. He said, you just love deeply. He said, you have to figure out a way to let that out. He said, I see it's there. Let it out. Learn how to express it. Don't just have it. Use what you have. I took it as a personal challenge, but I can tell you this. I dropped the ball in regard to the expression of love and my expressions of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. I'd really not learned a lot of lessons about love, and growing up, it was not a real topic of discussion a lot in our home. We all loved each other, but we never said it, and we didn't discuss it a whole lot. And I was a little bit afraid of saying it. It was a little difficult. It made me feel soft. It made me feel vulnerable. It made me feel, I don't know. I was a little bit afraid. But I discovered in 1 Corinthians 13:1, I found out you can make all the noise you want in life, but you add up to nothing if you don't learn how to love and how to express love, and it's still a part of the Christian life. I could have loved a lot of folks in the beginning stages of my Christianity. I just dropped the ball. I just dropped the ball. I was afraid to step out. Maybe I was afraid of rejection. But I came across some people that knew how to express love. I studied them. I said, wow, I see that. And you know what I did? I mimicked people who express love. They would do something to express their love. I said, I can do that. So I did it. I watched somebody else express love. I thought, I can do that. And I did it. I began to mimic the lovers, if you will, in the Christian life. I thought, you know, this is fun. This is good. I can do this. Oh, I tell you, I would not want to exchange that lesson in life for anything. One of the thrills of life is loving people. It's just loving people and expressing love. You know what? There are people in this room you love. It's in there. Nobody sees it. Nobody benefits from it. And if I asked you, do you love? You'd probably say, yes,
I do.
Prove it. Talk's cheap. You husbands tell your wives that you love her, and wives, you tell your husbands that you love them, and children, you tell your parents that you love them, and parents, you tell your children that you love them. You say, well, I love her. I told her when we got married I loved her, and I told her if it ever changed, I'd get back with her. Nothing changed. Don't need to say anything. You might not need to say it again, but she might need to hear it again. And I'd rather give her too much love than not enough. But I dropped the ball. I was weak at expressing love. And I had to figure it out. And I'm going to be honest, I virtually self-educated. I said, I must figure this out. I got a plan. And like any other spiritual thing, I got a plan and I said, Jeff, you've got to require this of yourself. You have to learn this. It does not come natural. It's not going to come easy to you. And I haven't learned all about it that I want to learn. But I do want this. If I tell someone that I love them, I want them to think, yeah, I think he does. I really do think he loves. But I dropped the ball. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to think that I didn't love the way I was to love. It's embarrassing to think that at first I tripped up on the thing of salvation. I'm glad I got it straightened out, but I dropped the ball. I'm embarrassed to think that at first my temper, I was so harsh. I'm embarrassed to think that I was so slow in trusting my spiritual leaders and that I was not sensitive to my wife's needs and my children's needs. That I could be so hard about right things. Wouldn't I? Oh, what I could have accomplished in my lifetime if I could have learned to stand fast for God, but do it the right way. Oh, I'm embarrassed. I think I'll get to heaven and the Lord will say, you know, you really blew it down there. You had so many things available to you, but you didn't use what I gave you. But I'm trying. I don't think I'm going to kick the bucket anytime soon. I'm hoping the next 20 years I can learn these lessons, and I don't want to drop the ball. Now, let me give you one more, and I'll be done. I think I dropped the ball by not attempting more big things for God. I think I dropped the ball. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'll be honest, at first I was scared to death to do anything for God. I was scared to step out. I was scared to attempt anything. Maybe it was my own insecurities and what happened is my own insecurities limited God's dreams for me. Maybe His dreams for me, His dreams for others, His dreams for my ministry. My own fear of failure limited God's desires for me. I had to learn that my pride was not the issue. I was scared to death to be embarrassed. I did not want to be humiliated. I did not want to be embarrassed. And so I kept retracted. I didn't want to try anything. I didn't want to step out by faith and do anything. And one day God said to me, Jeff Owens, this is not all about you. This is about me. Now you step out, and if I choose that you be humiliated, you go ahead and you take the humiliation, because if that is what is necessary for something great to be accomplished, then be willing. And I said, okay. I will attempt to do some things that are out of my comfort zone. I got to tell you, what God began to do. I began to say, Lord, if I fail, it's okay. I'm trying. I'll step out. And He said, I'll take care of the task. You just step out. It's amazing. My own anticipation of embarrassment limited God's plans. And one day my dad said, I've never forgotten the statement. He said, Jeff, he said, you will not do the great things of the Spirit of God until you're willing to humiliate your flesh. I said, that's so risky. He said, son, it'll be worth it. And until you're willing to humiliate your flesh for the cause of Jesus Christ, the Spirit will probably never dominate in your life. Because God deserves to be lifted up, and the Holy Spirit of God deserves to be lifted up. And as long as you have yourself on the pedestal, and you're lifting you up, and you're worried about you, and what does everybody think about you, and what will you get out of this? If you feel that way, God is not in His proper position in your life. Stop worrying about you and start giving your concern to God. And God will use you. I wonder how many opportunities God made available to me over the years, but I was scared of me being humiliated, me failing. I haven't learned all these lessons thoroughly, completely, or well, but I'm trying to learn them. I owe my grandfather a great debt. When he'd take that ball and hit it, that ball would come zooming at me, and time again, I'd drop the ball. And I'd drop the ball. And I'd drop the ball. I remember one time he hit that ball so hard and so fast at me. You know, the ball glove's pretty big. You don't want the ball to hit the palm of your hand. You want it to hit the netting, the glove. Man, I caught it in the palm of my hand. It slapped. You could hear it. It cracked. I threw my glove down. I was so mad. I said, I don't want to do this. He said, pick up your glove. You're going to learn not to drop the ball. And he said, Jeffy, you call me Dr. Jeffy. He said, Jeffy, even if it hurts, hang on to that ball. There's a lot of people counting on you. I pick my ball glove up. There are times when it hurt. There are times when I wanted to quit. Folks, listen. If you drop the ball in life, pick your glove up, put it back on. Somebody's counting on you. It's not all about you. Learn. You say, well, I'll probably drop the ball again. Well, me too. But let's go all the way to heaven. And if we drop the ball here and there, let's get back up, admit to our mistakes, and try again. I just called the sermon today, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball. And the Lord said, if a man drops a ball in his ignorance, I'll help him. But He said, if you drop the ball out of rebellion, you're just not going to change it. You know, but you're not going to do anything about it. God said, God's lie will take you to the woodshed. Because He wants us to learn when we drop the ball. Let's be careful. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I want to recommend to you salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved? If I died today, I do not know that I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand in the sky that I might pray for you today? Say, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Then let me ask the question another way. If you're here today, may I ask, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know for a fact you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You'll not lie to me. You'll not lie to yourself. You'll not lie to church. Not lie in the presence of God. You say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Would you let God see your hand as a testimony? You say, I'm saved. I know it. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Listen to this next question. Anybody here ever drop the ball? Would you raise your hand? Sure. You may put your hand down. Now here's the challenge. Folks, if you drop the ball, let me be grandpa for a second. Pick your glove up. Get back in this game. Learn from it. Grow from it. Be better because of it. I really do believe the people around you, if you'll just pick that glove back up and you say, you know what, I dropped the ball. I'll admit to my mistake. I'll get this fixed. I'm going to work on this. I'll do better. Hey, you can learn from the times you've dropped the ball. What an educational experience it can be. listen again to the next question. Is there somebody here today that would say, Pastor, there's one or two of these. I've really blown it. And I really need to work on a couple of these. And God has really spoken to my heart today. I've got to fix a couple areas of my life. And I know it. And God's brought it to my attention today. Would you let God see your hand? Oh, lots of hands. We're going to have an altar call. That means this. In a second, the pianist will begin to play. And in a moment, we're going to stand. And when we do, if you need to come to this altar, maybe you ought to leave your seat, come to this altar, and get on your knees and say, God, there's a couple areas I've dropped the ball. I need help. I want help. I don't. Hey, I'm putting my glove back on. I'm getting back in the game.